program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to the Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to the Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next few minutes, stick around. It's about 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, and no manipulation. We say that every week because we want you to know that we're not here to con you. We're not trying to get money from you. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're not trying to promote anything. We just want to give you information. Information that I believe will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life if you are interested. And if you are, you can orient and adjust to the plan. That's up to you. But the Flatline comes every Sunday morning on this station, compliments of the grace of God. We depend on the Lord to provide our funds, and He always does that. And thank you for those of you that have even gone out of your way to send some gifts along the way. Thank you for your help. Anyhow, this Flatline radio show is important because this is going up around, I don't know, 900 and maybe 70 or something like that. We're up in a lot of shows. Every Sunday morning all across America, we're in 115 cities across America. And what an honor it is for me to be able to do this. What an honor for God to give me this privilege to teach this information. Thank you for giving me a few minutes of your time. Again, I remind you of our books that we have available. The latest book, God's Grace in Aging, is available now. It's been a phenomenal book received by so many people. And it deals with, as you get older, what you can expect for God to provide for you and what God expects out of you. We also have some books called Christian Problem Solving and Practicing Your Christianity, and our book, Bible Promises and Principles, that so many people have enjoyed that as well. They're all free. We don't charge anything. Some lady called me this morning and said, "How much do I owe you for that book?" And nothing. It's free. And I always believe if God's in it, He will pay for it, so we don't sell it. We just stand it, put it out, and let the Lord provide the funds. And He has never failed us, and He never will fail us. Thank God for His wonderful grace. All right? So, if you're like me now, let's talk about something that's serious. If you're like me, you probably had some serious concerns about the direction this country's headed. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to see what's going on. It doesn't take a genius to see the split that's occurring. As the humanists and the progressives continue to push the boundaries of decency and the rule of law. Many of the conservative commentators you and I have heard, they've been warning us about the plans of the globalists who seek to remake America into some different socialist country. And they do it often by providing free gifts to the obedient in order to secure them their votes so they can remain in power. And we are currently, I believe, in an unseen war for the freedoms of our forefathers, the very freedoms they fought and died to maintain. You might not see it, but it's unseen, and it's a war for sure. Like me, you may be over the age of military service. They wouldn't accept us if we went down to join up, but we are called to action regardless of our age. And it's time that we stepped up, and we, it's you and I, that we took some responsibility for what has occurred in the past and what I believe will occur in the future. I mean, come on now. Why do we find ourselves in this mess today? What's going on? Well, I think the answer is very simple. It's not complicated. We do not understand the God we pretend to worship. I want to say that again. We do not understand the God that we pretend to worship. And I did say pretend. Notice what our Lord said about the rituals of religion in Hebrews 10, 5 through 7, dealing with ritual without reality. He said this, "Therefore, when Christ came into the world, He said these words, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me.'" Verse 6 of Hebrews 10, 6, "With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. And then said I, 'Here am I. It is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, my God.'" These verses reference that the continuous sacrifices of the Old Testament did not enable man to have a righteous standing with God, but rather they were a reminder of the sin which only Jesus Christ can take away. So our Lord came to achieve what the Old Covenant sacrifices could not do, and that is to provide our redemption through His sacrifice on the cross. So in regards to modern Christianity in America, we seem to replace that. We've replaced the reality of the scriptures with the ritual of church attendance and the function that goes along with emotional worship. Thus, many born-again believers never reach spiritual maturity, and that's what we've been talking about. Your spiritual life. What is your spiritual life? What does God expect out of you in your spiritual life? Many believers never reach spiritual maturity. You know why? Because the scriptures are not investigated, they're not taught, they're not explained. Listen to the book of Nehemiah. This took place once the children of God had returned to Jerusalem and rebuilt the temple. And there was a great revival led by Ezra the priest, who taught the scriptures to the people. And listen to what he did. Listen how he did it. This is a pattern of what we need to get back to today. Nehemiah 8, 2 and 3. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. Able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak until noon. That was a long sermon. From daybreak until noon, as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of law. Now listen to verse 8 carefully. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. So the priests gave the sense of what they were reading and helped them understand what it meant. Satan will always oppose the teaching of Scripture. Always. He can't stand it. He doesn't like it. He doesn't want you studying the Bible. He doesn't want any pastor teaching the Bible. Because if you learn the Bible and believe the Scriptures, it gives you the ability to discern his subterfuge. One of the ways Satan will hinder your spiritual growth is to send preachers who mislead and misinform God's people. Well, they look nice. Yes, they do. Dressed up in their $1,000 suits. They look nice. They sound nice. They act nice, but they deceive you in regards to what your spiritual life should be. I call them spiritual dreamers. They're not spiritually mature Christians. They're spiritual dreamers. And so I'd like to encourage you to quit chasing your dream. I hear that all the time. If you want to do something, you dream it, you can do it. Forget that. That's not true. Quit tracing your dreams. Quit chasing your dreams and start acting God. Father, what is your will for me? Jeremiah the prophet had this to say about those spiritual dreamers. You want to hear what he said? In Jeremiah 23:21 through 23, I did not send these prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil ways and from the evil of their doings. There's a breakdown in the pulpit right there. Again, I didn't send them. I didn't tell them what to say. I didn't give them the right to prophesy. And they're not teaching my word. And now listen, what did they teach? Here it is. They try to make my people forget my name by their dreams. Jeremiah 23:27. Which everyone tells his neighbor, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. So the prophet who has a dream, let him tell his dream. But the one that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Again, Jeremiah said, God spoke through Jeremiah, I didn't send these prophets, yet they preach, I have not spoken to them, yet they communicate. If they had just given my word, my people would not have done what they're doing. So we are losing God's blessing on this country because of this. We're losing God's blessing on this country because many who claim to be pastors and communicators are not communicating the truth. Many have lost momentum in their spiritual life, and many are not growing spiritually. And if, sadly enough, they have no desire to understand the things of God. You know why? I think it's because they love the gifts more than the giver. I mean, who doesn't love freedom? Who doesn't love a new car? Who doesn't love a new home? Who doesn't love to be able to have a great hobby? And we forget about God. We love all the gifts, but we forgot who the giver is. There's an Old Testament passage that clearly delineates why God would discipline a client nation like us, a nation that once served his interest. Hosea chapter 4, I hear people talk about it all the time. It says this concerning the lack of interest in God's word. Listen carefully. I think this is an indictment on America. I really do. Hosea 4:1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. We could say, you children of America. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, There is no mercy. There is no knowledge of God in the land. And then in verse 6, Hosea went on to write, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being priests for me. Because you forgot the laws of your God, I will forget your children." Uh-oh. Uh-oh, do you hear that? "Because you forgot the laws of your God, I will forget your children." Now, you have children. You have grandchildren. You're not interested in your spiritual life. You're not interested in the Bible. You're not interested in what God has to say. You're not interested in any knowledge about what's in the Bible. You kind of made your own rules up and your own regulations, and you do what you want to do, and now you want to know why God is not blessing your family. Why is God letting these things happen to our nation? Why? What's going on? Because you are failing your spiritual life. You are not growing spiritually. You might have gotten yourself in a church where the pastor is not teaching the Word of God. Oh, he entertains you. He makes it fun. You have a great worship service. You have great choir groups, great singing groups, great entertainers come visit you. But what about teaching you something? What about teaching you something? I mean, how much should a pastor teach? Well, I don't know. What does it take? If you went to the first grade and you went for an hour and a half a week, you would never get out of the first grade. And most pastors are lucky if they teach an hour and a half a week. That's what, 30 minutes on Sunday morning, 30 minutes on Sunday night, and 30 minutes on Wednesday night. That's an hour and a half a week. No Christian can grow to spiritual maturity on an hour and a half a week. Oh, but most pastors will say, well, then get a daily devotional. Buy this book, buy that book, and read a little devotional every day. And I say that's hogwash. You need to be under a well-qualified pastor, listening to that pastor teach you the Word of God on a consistent basis. And you say, where can I find that? Well, it's there. If you don't know, let me know. I'll put you in touch with where you can get on the Internet and listen to great pastors teach you the Word of God. And just like me, you can listen on a daily basis. That's what's happened. We love the gifts more than the giver. That's right. What are we going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Notice the indictment that was in Hosea for the nation is because there's no hunger for truth. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. The Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of land. There is no truth, no mercy, and no knowledge. There's no hunger for truth in the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, Jesus said. He is the truth. Did you know that? The Lord Jesus Christ is truth. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." The very first and foremost thing missing in American society today is the clear presentation of the gospel in the public arena. The enemy, a.k.a. the devil, has succeeded in outlawing the giving of the gospel in public schools. Thus, several generations of youth have never heard the forgiveness of sin that God offers through Christ. But they've been evangelized through social media outreach and recruited into the alternative lifestyles, while at the same time, Christians have been demonized as nationalists who want to force morality on society. The scriptures also said there's no mercy in the land. I read it again. No mercy in the land. There's no truth, no mercy, and no knowledge of God. No mercy in the land. That's America. The people that Hosea wrote to had received mercy from God through Christ Jesus, but they were unwilling to show mercy. Matthew 5:7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And that Hebrew word for mercy is the word chesed. It means to be kind. And this attitude is indicative of a mature believer, the mature believer who uses impersonal love, the mature believer who operates under grace orientation, the mature believer who doesn't hold a grudge and doesn't seek to get revenge. If you've got somebody you don't like and you're holding a grudge against them, you're not showing them any mercy. You're not showing them any forgiveness. Listen, did God forgive you? Yes. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son so that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved you. God forgave you. And yet you have people you don't like and you won't forgive. You show no mercy. That's because you have no knowledge of God. You don't operate under what the Word of God says to operate under. You haven't learned the problem-solving devices. You haven't learned how to use impersonal love. And then notice in verse 6, he says, "You have rejected knowledge. Since you have the laws of your God, and you've rejected them, I will reject your children. I'll forget your children. Hosea 4:6. That's a frightening thought. I mean, like me, many of you have children and grandchildren. Do you want God to protect and bless their future? Because I assure you, without God's protection, our children and our grandchildren were going to suffer greatly. If you would like for God to guarantee His blessing on the future, it has to start with you being part of the pivot. P-I-V-O-T, pivot. That's a core group of mature believers that preserves our freedom. This key to this protection that I'm talking about, the key to the perseverance of this nation, is for you and me to grow to spiritual maturity and to allow blessing by association flow from our lives. Here's what David said, "My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy," there's the word mercy again, "shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Whenever you're in the company of a mature believer, and their cup runs over, blessing runs over, then you get blessing by association. This is exactly what we have to have in this nation. We have to have you growing to spiritual maturity, so your cup runneth over, and our nation is blessed by association with you. All Christians have a spiritual life, but not every Christian is a mature spiritual individual. I mean, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit indwells you. He seals you. But that doesn't mean you're spiritually mature. It means you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And when you use the rebound technique to confess your sin, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, yes. But that doesn't mean you're a spiritually mature individual. You have a spiritual life, but you might not be spiritually mature. What does that mean? It means you haven't grown spiritually. And your lack of obedience to the Word of God is exactly why we're facing national discipline. It's exactly what's going on. Because you have enjoyed the gifts but forgot the laws of the giver. Ezekiel 22:30 said this, God said, "I'm looking for a man among them that would make up a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land so that I shouldn't have to destroy it, but I found no one." No one. I wonder, can God find one today in America? Can God count on you to stand in the gap? Can God count on you to be the spiritually mature individual we're talking about so that blessings overflow from your life into the land? What exactly must you and I do to reclaim God's blessing? What exactly must we do to ensure freedom for future generations? Well, notice this. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Bible clearly says, "If my people, Christians, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." It starts with humility. A humble person has to know when he's wrong. A humble person has to admit his sin. An arrogant person will not admit sin. He'll always justify why he's right and God's wrong. God made that sin. That's not really sin. That's not sin if I do that. Yes, it is. The Bible says it is. And so you compromise your belief. What God is looking for is humility in your life. And then pray and seek my face on your knees, asking God, "Dear Father, please show me what we should do. What should I do with my life? What should I do with my family? What should I do with my nation? And turn from their wicked ways. Then," and I would add the words, "only then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." Those words, "my people," "if my people," refers to Christians just like you and me. And I remind you, as goes your spiritual life, so goes the future of this land, the land we call America, our home. If we hope to reclaim God's blessing, it starts with us maintaining what I call a humility profile. That's where the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself and made himself of no reputation." Humility doesn't mean you're a weak wimp. Humility means you respect authority and you're obedient. You're able to take orders from God the Father. You have enough humility to know that God's smarter than you, that God was in business before you got here, and He will be in business long after you're gone. Humility is you turning to the Scriptures and saying, Father, what should I do? You can no longer ignore God's mandates. You can no longer justify why you're not studying the Bible, why you're not attending church, why you're not growing spiritually. You can no longer continue to deceive yourself into thinking you and God are okay with each other. And if you continue with this type of self-justification, that's an arrogant sin. And if you continue with it, you will deceive yourself until eventually you'll be destroyed. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. You will destroy your life if you don't get some humility. So I'm asking you again, how goes your spiritual life? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis? Are you taking in God's Word on a daily basis? Are you studying under a well-qualified pastor on a daily basis? Is the Word of God the number one priority in your life? Is it? King Solomon said it this way in the book of Ecclesiastes. My pastor just taught a great series on Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes 12, 13 through 14, here's what Solomon said. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His mandates, for this is man's all. And God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Did you hear that? Fear God. That means to respect the Word of God, to respect God. You think God doesn't know what's going on? You think God can't see your life? I mean, you can turn the lights out and you can hide. God knows exactly what you're thinking. He knows exactly what your motives are. He knows exactly what your incentives are. He knows exactly what you want. That's His omniscience. You must learn to respect God. And we must learn to keep His mandates. Not the ones that other people say. You know, I mean, some people come up with some goofy things. They'll try to run your life for you. They'll say, brother, if you're going to be a good Christian now, you can't go to a movie. If it's not rated G, you can't go. Or, brother, you can't be a good Christian if you eat that chicken. Brother, you can't be a good Christian if you do this or do that. That's always some self-righteous person trying to tell you what to do. A well-qualified pastor will teach you Word of God, and you will understand what His mandates are. Like study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then Solomon went on to say, God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, the things you thought nobody knew about, whether good or evil. You're not hiding anything from God. You may be the best member of the church. You may be the best tither at the church. You may be the loudest singer in the choir, but you're not hiding your sin from God. Until you begin to grow spiritually and put priority number one in your life of becoming a spiritually mature individual, our nation will continue to go down. And this is an indictment on pastors as well that are not teaching the Bible. This is not a cruise ship. It's a church. It's where the royal family of God comes together. You must teach the Bible. And not 1 week out of the year for the January Bible study. I'm talking about every week. Get into the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Teach the Word of God. I can tell you what will happen. You're not going to like it, but your church membership will decline. Because that's not what people want. People want a Christian community. They want to be entertained. They want to be emoted. They want to get emotionally upset and fired up and juiced up. But if you start teaching the Word of God on a consistent basis, you'll watch your membership decline because they won't stand for it. I've seen many churches do this. Many churches had great pastors, well-qualified pastors who wanted to teach the Bible, but they were not visitors. They weren't people. You know, they didn't go calling on people all the time, and they got rid of them. That's not what they wanted. By staying in fellowship with God through the filling of the Holy Spirit, by growing in grace through the learning and applying of God's Word, you will begin to grow spiritually until eventually you replicate the thinking of Christ. And eventually guarantee God's blessing on this client nation. That's the only way it'll ever happen. The Marines always say, the few, the proud, and the Marines. As a mature member of the pivot, you can glorify God to the max. And you can help preserve this nation by being one of the few, one of the proud, one of the members of the pivot of God. A core group of mature believers in this country that God blesses, and we have blessing by association overflowing through your life. Can God count on you? Is His Word priority number one in your life? Are you staying filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you using those rebound technique? Are you using the faith rest drill? Do you understand the flat line and what it's all about? That's the secret to the spiritual life. If you don't get the spiritual life down, you will never be able to glorify God, and you will not be part of the remnant that delivers this nation. God is looking for a few good, well-qualified believers who love His Word and put that number one in their life. I hope it's you. I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention. If you want to know more, write to me. We'll get you the information. We'll even tell you where you can get under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor in your area, if possible. But the information is there if you want it. The question is, are you hungry for it? Do you want to grow? Are you willing to sacrifice some time to get into God's Word? Your life will change when you become a spiritually mature believer, I promise you. You will go under testing. You will be under opposition. You'll find all sorts of things happening because Satan will not stand idly by and let you grow. So think about this. Pray about this. Listen to what I'm telling you. Please. I enjoy giving you these radio shows, and I enjoy challenging you with these radio shows and these messages. I hope you're listening and paying attention. Okay? We're going to be back next week, same time, same place, same station, as the Lord continues to bless us and gives us the ability to communicate the truth. So until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you so very much for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries. The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around. 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, and we try to do that with no manipulation, which means we don't con people. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're not trying to ask you to join anything. We're not asking you for money. We're just asking you to listen as we try to verify and identify God's plan for your life. The Flatline, that's our show. Sharing the wonderful problem-solving devices found in the Bible. So many of you have called me and said you enjoy the show and you've wrote and written me letters. Thank you. Many of you have even made contributions, and thank you for those as well. But let me remind you that we have a great book called Christian Problem Solving, Practicing Your Christianity, and A Crash Course in Christianity. They're all available. We also have the book on Promises and Principles that's available, as well as our transcripts. If you go to our website, it's rickhughesministries.org. It's not Richard Hughes Ministries. Unfortunately, that's a different person. Same name, different person. Unfortunately, but it's rickhughesministries.org. And there you'll find our website and you'll find all our books available. And many of them you can play right there and listen online. If you don't particularly care about reading or have a hard time reading, you can listen online. Especially to our book called God's Creation Aging, one of our best books we've given in a long time. So many people have requested that book. If you'd like to have a copy, let us know. Go to the website and order it or call 800-831-0718. That's 800-831-0718. Now today I want to talk to you about something that's a continuation from last week's show. We've been talking about the spiritual life. The spiritual life. The craze in media advertisement today is all about buying something or doing something that'll make you feel better, make you live longer, Modern advertisements spend millions of dollars trying to entice us into buying their products. Exercise machines, special foods that are supposed to be healthy, and they'll even deliver it to your door. You don't even have to cook it. Or you can buy pills to enhance your performance in the bedroom. It's all about the body. Some skinny people try to gain weight. Some heavy people try to lose weight. But listen to what God says about your body in Psalm 139, verse 14. I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You are what God created. And there's nothing wrong with trying to take care of yourself. Nothing wrong with trying to get in shape. Nothing wrong with trying to eat proper and eat healthy. But there is something wrong if all you focus on is your body. It's true, you need to be concerned about your physical health. But what about the health of your soul, the invisible part of you? If you are a Christian, and many of you are that are listening to me today, if you're not a Christian, this verse is not even going to apply to you because you don't have a spiritual life. At best, you have a body and a soul, but you have no spirit. Therefore, you have no ability to have fellowship with God, because the Bible clearly says if we're going to worship God, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But if you're a Christian, you've been given a spiritual life, and that functions inside of your invisible, immortal soul, your mentality, your volition, your consciousness, and your self-consciousness. That's basically the makeup of your soul, and that's the image of God as we were created in His image. So when I talk about the spiritual life, capital letters, the spiritual life, that's a term seldom spoke of in most churches today. As a matter of fact, when I ask folks to describe their spiritual life, many people have no answer. Most often the spiritual life is related to going to church and attending a worship service. As a matter of fact, many believers will attend church services this morning during the radio show. And they will be in a state glazed and dazed, going through a ritual that often has no reality to it. Many people think they are being spiritual as they sing and offer praise to God. And praising God, that's a good thing. Psalm 50:23 says, "Whosoever offers praise glorifies me." However, the spiritual life includes much more than offering praise to God. We need to understand what the spiritual life actually is, and how the spiritual life actually operates. So I'm going to ask you a question. Answer this to the best of your ability, to yourself, privately, of course, but how's your spiritual life going? If I ask you that face to face, how's your spiritual life going? What would you say? I mean, if I ask you how's your physical life going, you say, oh, I got arthritis, or my eyes are failing me, or my hearing's not too good, but I'm asking you about your spiritual life. How is your spiritual life going? Many people think activity or human ability is a function of the Christian life, and that eventually leads to emotion as a criteria for the Christian life. My pastor taught me that a long time ago. Emotion is not the criteria of the spiritual life. The spiritual life of the Christian like you and I is based on quality, not activity, meaning that we must understand what the spiritual life is before we understand the activities that actually God wants us to do or expects from us. So this quality requires thought, thinking. People are changed by thought. The Bible tells us that, Romans 12, 2 and 3. Stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance beyond what you should think, but think in terms of humility as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from His Word. So when you become a Christian, the objective is to begin to think differently. A Christian is changed by cognition of the Word of God, which empowers that spiritual life I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit that God gives you at salvation is direct power from God to live the spiritual life. And the Scripture, our Bible doctrine, is the delegated power by God, which He entrusted to you to learn, to use, and to share. But your spiritual life will not function without these two divine assets. That's what is that? The filling of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God are the Scriptures. These two combine to form spiritual skills necessary to live the spiritual life. And we know these skills, as we try to call it, the flat line in your soul. The ability in your soul's mentality to establish a main line of resistance so you can stop the outside sources of pressure before they become the inside source of stress. But no Christian can live the spiritual life without the Word of God directing and empowering them. How do I know that? Well, Hebrews 4:12 tells us that. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there you go. What you think and what you do, right there. It's the Word of God that is supposed to guide you under the filling of the Holy Spirit. So, where does the spiritual life start? How does it get going? Well, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Basically, what that means is before you accepted Christ, you had a body and a soul. You were two people, body and soul. But now that you've accepted Christ, you have a body and a soul and a spirit. My pastor used to say you were bichotomous, now you're trichotomous. Three of you, body, soul, and spirit. So your spiritual life begins at salvation. At salvation, you are born again. That means your dead human spirit that was infected by Adam's original sin is now made alive. So in essence, you now have a physical life, yes. That didn't change. But you have a spiritual life, which is required to have fellowship with God. As I told you in John 4:24, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the natural man, the man that has not been saved, the man who has not trusted Christ to save him, he has not been born again, and he cannot, it is impossible for him to understand the things of God. You hear me? The person who is not saved, the natural man, the person who has not been born again, cannot understand the things of God. Why is that? Because it requires a spiritual life to receive spiritual instruction. Again, listen, it requires a spiritual life to receive spiritual instruction. Where would I get a thought like that? 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man, the unsaved person, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. There it is, right there. So the spiritual life is lived in the mentality of your soul. Don't forget that every action you do begins with a thought. And that thought will eventually become an attitude, and that attitude will eventually become an action. So the unique thing about the spiritual life provided for the believer is this. It's called divine viewpoint. And divine viewpoint is built by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit, plus positive volition to learning and obeying God's command, God's word. And the motivation to do this comes from personal love for God. That's your motivation. 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God. If I ask you, do you love God? And you say, yes, sir, I love God. I've asked 1,000 people that question. Do you love God? Yes, I love God. Well, listen to the verse. This is the love of God. Here's the proof now you love God. That we keep his commandments and they are not hard. Do you obey God? If you don't obey him, you don't love him. So just as the physical body requires nutrients to survive, a good old steak, some good old fried chicken, some good old pork chops, some good salmon, some good catfish, your body requires nutrients to survive. Well, the spiritual life requires spiritual nutrients to grow into a spiritually mature Christian. A Christian who's in fellowship with God by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit is said to be spiritual, yes, but not necessarily spiritually mature. The Christian who has grieved the Holy Spirit by committing personal sin is said to be carnal. So at any one time in your life, you are either spiritual or you are carnal. If you have unconfessed sin in your life, you're carnal. If you don't have unconfessed sin in your life, if you've used rebound, problem-solving device number one, and you've named your known sins to God when they occurred, you're spiritual. That does not mean you're spiritually mature. It just means you're spiritual. So, a Christian who's in fellowship with God is said to be spiritual, not necessarily spiritually mature. And that's what I'm interested in. Your spiritual life becoming a spiritually mature Christian. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3, Paul wrote about the carnal people when he said, and I, brethren, writing to the church at Corinth, could not speak to you as to spiritual people. It means they were not staying in fellowship, but as unto carnal. It means they were getting out of fellowship, not confessing their sin. As to babies in Christ Jesus. He said, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. And then he identifies what the carnality is. He goes on to say there's envy within the church there. Let me see if I can turn this page. There's envy, there's strife, and there's division among you. Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men, like mere lost people? In other words, they were emulating a lost individual by the way they were acting, and they're carnal. When you get out of fellowship with God, when you quench and grieve the Holy Spirit, you will imitate a lost person. You'll go back to what you used to do. You'll live like you used to live. But our objective as a new Christian is to become spiritually mature. That's the question I'm asking you. Are you becoming spiritually mature? How's your spiritual life going? Are you growing in grace? Listen to 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Spiritual childhood begins the moment you accept Christ as your Savior. But we got to learn how to recover from our sin, recover from our failure, as well as learn how to stay filled with the Holy Spirit and use the faith rest drill. Because our ultimate objective is spiritual maturity. Why is that? Because that's where we begin to replicate the life of Christ. Listen to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. Hear the word maturity? Not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. You don't have to get saved again. You just need to grow up, the Bible saying. Because in spiritual maturity, the Christian has the spiritual skills to handle difficulties in life. I mean, it could be adversity, or even worse, it could be prosperity. Both are equally distracting. And if you don't have the spiritual coping skills to deal with it, either one of them will destroy you. Paul identified it in Philippians 4:11-13 when he said these words, Not that I speak in regards of need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need, and I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength or who strengthens me. Yep, prosperity is a terrible test. I've seen people say, if I could just win the lottery, I'd be happy. If I could just get that big inheritance, I'd be happy. I've seen people fight and do bad things to their siblings to be sure to get their share of the inheritance, thinking they're going to be happy. Unhappy people take their unhappiness with them wherever they go. Remember that. And we spend money we don't have to buy things we don't need to impress people we don't even like. Isn't that a pitiful thing? So the primary objective of your spiritual life, and mine also, is for us to reach spiritual maturity, which in effect is occupation with the person of Christ. That's what God wants us to do. Philippians 3:13, Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind me, and I reach forward to those things which are ahead of me. That's going to occupation with Christ. Remember those 10 problem-solving devices. Do you know them? We have a bookmark that has all 10 of them on there. If you want that, just write to me through the website and say, send me the bookmark on the 10 problem-solving devices and put it in your Bible so you can learn them and use them, because you will never learn how to use the Christian life without understanding this. You have to learn how to rebound, how to deal with your sin. You have to learn how to be filled with the Holy Spirit so you don't quench the Spirit. You have to learn how to walk by faith using the faith rest drill. You have to learn how to orient to the grace of God, especially through salvation. For by grace are you saved, grace orientation. You have to orient to Bible doctrine or learning the Word of God. You have to have a personal sense of destiny. These are all problem-solving devices, and we are motivated by our personal love for God, a wonderful virtue that God says is a great thing. And it's impersonal love for others is another thing that's great. So virtue love includes loving God and loving other people. But how do you love people that you don't like? You love them based on who you are, not based on who they are. But sharing the happiness of God is a wonderful problem-solving device, and that's what the Lord said in John 15:11. I've told you these things so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be full. And then obviously occupation with Christ. Those are 10 unique problem-solving devices that you need to know and understand. And I pray you'll order that little bookmark and you'll learn what that means so that you can gain Christ Jesus. Now, your spiritual life can stall out. And that's the next question I want to ask you. Are you stalled out? Have you stalled out? If you fail to maintain the filling of the Holy Spirit, you will stall out. Because unconfessed sin will grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Because once the Holy Spirit has been grieved and he's quenched, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Holy Spirit. What does all that mean? The bottom line is this, that sin quenches the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. That power that gives you the ability to execute the spiritual life. Thus, the Holy Spirit is grieved, the Greek word lopeo, and the verb is a present active imperative verb, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve him. That's a command from God for you as a Christian. That means don't let unconfessed sin live in your life. If you sin, name it. Immediately. Not when you go to bed at night, not the next day. Immediately. Don't hide it from God. Tell him what you did. He will be faithful and just to forgive you. That's why this verb is a present active imperative. And there is a time when you're not to confess your sin. The active voice of the verb means the subject produces the action, that's you and me, and the imperative mood is God's command to us. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So, meaning to distress him. Our unconfessed sin produces grief with the Holy Spirit. This is not an emotional reaction. I think it's more like a disappointment that we shut down his influence and the power that had been provided by God's grace. So, remember, you cannot execute the spiritual life without the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit. And how do I avoid the sin we're talking about? Well, first of all, you're not going to be able to avoid sinning, but we can sin less, don't sin as much, when we observe what the Scriptures say. Is there a way to quit sinning as much? Yes. Psalm 119, verse 11, your word I hid in my heart so that I might not sin against you. There's the power to overcome sin, is the word of God when the Holy Spirit takes it and uses it to remind you. So why should you learn the word of God? Psalm 119, verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes and your word, and I will not forget it. When you hide the word of God in your heart, what does that mean? Well, first of all, it means you heard it. And secondly, it means you believed it and you stored it in your memory bank so you can recall it at a later time. The question I want to ask you is, do you delight in learning the Scriptures? Can you recall promises and provisions given to you in the Scriptures? Do you have a well-qualified pastor who teaches you, explains to you how those verses apply to your life? Do you? So when I say, how's your spiritual life going? Here's what I don't want to hear. Well, I'm staying in fellowship. In other words, I'm staying filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm learning God's Word on a daily basis. And I'm beginning to replicate the life of Christ. We're being occupied with Christ. That means we cannot live the spiritual life without the filling of the Holy Spirit, and you should know. So are you filled with the Holy Spirit right now? Should you feel it? No. You're not going to feel it. Should you know it? Yes. How would you know you're filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, is there any unconfessed sin in your life? You say, well, I may have done something I don't remember. Listen to what the Bible says. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means even the ones you don't remember. So when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the power to live the Christian life. You empower your spiritual life through the filling of the Holy Spirit. And then when you add the doctrine to it, that's like putting gas in the tank. Once you put the Word of God in there, then you give the Holy Spirit something to work with. So your spiritual life is very, very critical for you. Does your pastor talk about your spiritual life? Has anyone in your church ever mentioned that word to you? How's your spiritual life going? Meaning, are you growing in grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? There's several verses I could give you about that. 2 Peter 3:18. How about study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? How about take my yoke and learn of me? My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Study, grow, learn. You cannot live the spiritual life without these things. And you cannot do these things without the filling of the Holy Spirit. Without being filled with the Holy Spirit, without taking and learning the Word of God, metabolizing it into your soul, you will have no spiritual life. You may go through the ritual, but there will be no reality to it. You'll just be impersonating a mature believer. What a waste of your time that is. Because your spiritual life is not empowered by your emotions, what you feel. Emotions are not thought now, come on, but rather a feeling, and that can be tricky. When I used to do a lot of bass fishing, I'd love to be out early in the morning on the lake and see the sun come up and the fog and the mist come off the water. And I had an emotional feeling. It felt wonderful. It felt great. It was beautiful. Well, that didn't mean I was going to be a great fisherman. That didn't mean I was going to catch my creel limit that day. So when someone tries to get you to be empowered by your emotions, do a big worship service, some kind of emotional thing to turn you on, that doesn't mean you're growing. You don't grow with your emotions. You grow with your mentality. Emotions can stimulate you to do that, but that's not what the fuel comes from. You grow from the mentality of your soul as you put the Word of God into your soul, learn it, and use it as the Lord Jesus Christ said. We repeat it all the time. Happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's Word and who keep it. So your spiritual life, the spiritual life I'm talking about, that's not just on Sunday. It's not observed one day a week. Your spiritual life must be lived 24/7. So when you get up in the morning, you ask yourself, how's my body feel? Oh, creaky, achy, hard to move my leg, my elbow hurts, my back hurts, but how's your spiritual life feel? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you taking in the Word of God today? Are you beginning to replicate the life of Christ? Are you thinking like He thought? That's what I'm concerned with. Because this body will go away, but that spiritual life will live forever. Because you're going to take it to heaven with you. So are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you? Are you learning and storing Scripture in your soul's mentality daily? Are you? Do you have discernment and understanding of your enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil? Do you? These are things critical for you to know. If you will pray with us, we're trying to think about putting together a book on the spiritual life, what it is, what it actually does, how you can actually understand it, use it. But if you are a Christian, you have a spiritual life. And you must live your Christian life with that power inside that spiritual life. And it's all in your head. It'll come out in your actions. It'll start with a thought and then come into an attitude and then an action. And a spiritually mature believer, that will overflow into his body where he will do things physically that are pleasing to God. So I hope you're listening and I hope you're learning this. I hope you're understanding this. I've talked about it for two Sundays now. Your spiritual life is critical for you. So listen next Sunday for it. Listen to your friends talk about it. Listen to see if your pastor mentions it. Do you have a spiritual life? It's critical. I thank you for listening. I thank you for being with me. I hope you're learning something. Let me know if you need anything. Just give us a shout. Rick@rickhughesministries.org. Until next week, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.